your precious word this morning. Thank you for the truth. It's the truth that set me free, and it's the truth that set all of us who call upon the name of the Lord free. He whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. So lead us and guide us in all truth this morning. Your word is truth, it's pure, and it sets the captives free. So you have your way through your word. Help me, Lord, as your mailman to deliver the truth in love here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As I usually do, I start with an introduction, just to bring you up to speed to where we are, because some of you maybe weren't here last week, or, you know, and so last Sunday we saw a test of Abraham's faith. Abraham was known as the father of faith, and even the father of faith failed the test at times. That's an encouragement to me. Like you've heard me share many times, I love the Word of God because it shows us man's imperfections as well as how to be perfect. And we all blow it. We all sin, every one of us. And even the father of faith blew it. After God had promised Abram that he would make him a great nation, that he would bless him, that he would make his name great, and in him all of the earth would be blessed, Abram was then tested. There was a famine in the land, and instead of taking it to the Lord, Abram went down to Egypt. Now, Egypt is always a picture of the world and the world system. Going down to Egypt is also a picture of one running to the world for help instead of looking up to God. And sometimes we can do that, all of us. Our first resort should be to pray. And how often I hear people say, well, I guess I'll just have to pray. No, my friend, you get to pray. You get to talk to Holy God in heaven. And he hears every prayer. And he so much loves our prayer as his kids. But the Bible very clearly says that he keeps all of our prayers in golden bowls in heaven. Can you imagine that? Everyone. So going down to Egypt is a picture of running to the world instead of looking up to God. As believers, as children of God, we do at times go through trials and testing. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And I have found over the years of my own personal life, and I'm sure you have as well, that oftentimes it's the testing that strengthens my faith more than anything. Because again, we get to pray to God and ask for God's help, and he divinely leads us and guides us through the trials, the tests, the troubles, the tribulations, the storms of life, and then we can see his hand, and it strengthens our faith in him. God alone is in control of all circumstances. I repeat, God alone is in control of all circumstances. One is safer, as I wish Abraham would have known, in a famine in God's will than at a feast out of his will. And sometimes we get things backwards. It has been wisely said, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And that's good to know. We need that today like never before. Abram moved from trust into scheming. How sad. Ryan used my joke this morning about the lie song we sang. What are you doing? Encouraging people to lie? No. That's just a joke. But I think it's so important that we learn from this lesson here this morning to take everything to God, no matter how it feels, because we walk by faith, not by feeling. And we need to take everything to God, believing that he hears our prayer and believing that he is going to take that which the enemy intends for evil and turn it around for good. Faith in God, faith in God's word, is living our lives without scheming. And we've talked about that. Oh, I didn't lie. It was just a fib. Remember that one, all you old folks, as a kid? A fib. or it's just a little white lie. No, a lie is a lie. We have to be very, very careful not to scheme, but to trust in the Lord. For one thing, Abram left his altar and had no altar down in Egypt where he went. He went down there for the food, to feed his flesh. And he left the all-important thing behind, his altar. And we don't find him calling on the Lord down in Egypt. And what a picture that is of what the world does. When we're caught up in the things of the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, we're not at our altar. As a matter of fact, oftentimes we don't even call upon the Lord there until we get in such a jam we cry out, Lord, help. Abram lied about his wife. Lying is never an option. Never, ever, ever an option. Because we know that Satan is the father of the lie and there's no truth in him. If Abram had not gone there in the first place, he would have never had to lie. Hello? And oftentimes that's what follows. Lies, excuses to cover up our sin. But the Lord graciously watched over Abram and Sarah, or Sarai, even when they were out of his will, and he rescued them out of a dangerous situation. Look at the last verse, or the last few verses of chapter 12. It says in verse 17, but the Lord plagued Pharaoh in his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, why is it that you have done to me, what is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. And so Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. And so verse 1 this morning tells us that Abram went up from Egypt along with his wife and his nephew Lot. Look at the first 4 verses. Then Abram went up. Notice, when you fall into sin, the way is down. And when you're walking with the Lord, the way is always up. Then Abram went up from Egypt, from the world. He and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, which means house of God, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. And now look at verse 4. To the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there, Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lesson number 1 here this morning. When we sin, when we disobey God, when we scheme, go back to the Lord. Now, we don't have altars today. We don't need altars today. Altars were a place where animals were sacrificed and their blood was sprinkled. Our sacrifice is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who died on the cross, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world, died for our sins. And the best place that we can go is to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. And if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we sin, when we disobey, when we scheme, go back to your Lord and Savior. Repent. There's only one mediator, the Bible says, between God and man, and that's the man Jesus Christ. He's got one hand in yours, and he's got the other hand in his Father's hand. And he's the one and only mediator between God and man. And so here we see we're to go back, repent, and make a new beginning. And that's a wonderful thing about the Lord. We can start all over again. He's the God of many chances. He loves you enough to forgive you and give you a brand new start. And again, you've heard me mention many times before, when he forgives our sins, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He casts them as far as the east is from the west, in the deepest part of the sea, and he remembers our sin no more. That's a verse I'm continually reminded of in my own personal life. Thank you, God, that you don't remember my sin anymore, even though the enemy tries to put them in our mind. You ever have that happen? Probably not. Pray for me. But he's great at replays. He loves to take our past and throw it right up in our face. And that's when I remind him. God remembers it no more. And that's when we take every thought captive and cast it out. So Abram went back to his altar. For us, we go back to the throne room of grace. Isn't that wonderful? And again, we have never experienced the throne room of grace. We read about it. And one day, we are really going to be blown away when we get to heaven. And we are going to enter into the throne room of grace. We return to our first love. We can go back and do our first works, Revelation 2:5 says. Now, some will look at verse 2 here this morning and say, hey, that wasn't all bad. Look, Abram's very rich now. Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. Is that true? Where did it come from? Where did his riches come from? Egypt. Pharaoh blessed him, as we saw last week. And as we will see, Sarai was given her own handmaid. Whoa. So what's the big problem here? We're going to see. Soon we will see firsthand what the big problem is. Everything, and I do mean everything, that Abram brings back from Egypt is going to cause all sorts of problems, including the handmaiden. The first problem we see here in verses 5 and 6, notice, Lot, also who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together. So, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. So you tell me, were those riches a blessing? No. They separated Abram from his nephew Lot. And we're going to see firsthand the rest of the story, what happens to Lot. There's a lot that happens to Lot. In everything, as I mentioned, everything that they brought back from Egypt is going to cause all sorts of problems. That's why God's word tells us that he will provide our daily bread. He will provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Not our wants. We have to be very, very careful what we pray for. And we have to be very, very careful what we allow to influence us in this world today. Because we can see what happens here, causing all kinds of problems. The riches of the world. And because of Abraham's great riches, he and his nephew Lot could not dwell together. And it wasn't necessarily them, but it was their shepherds, their workers, their laborers. They couldn't dwell together. And so they're going to have to separate. Isn't it interesting how the riches of this world, day by day, separate people? And the greatest separation, unfortunately, can be separating us from God. When the things of the world take God's place upon the throne of our heart. There's only one person that's supposed to be on the throne of our hearts, and that's Jesus Christ, not the things of this world. And this is going to lead to the destruction of Lot's family. How sad. And Lot would choose to live in Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. Even handmaiden Hagar would bring down division and sorrow upon Abram's home and his marriage. And again, the practical lesson here is simply never, never, ever abandon your altar. For us today, never, ever, ever abandon your prayer life. and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Always, always, always keep him first. Stay in constant prayer with your Heavenly Father. He is your Father in heaven, and he is holy. Hallowed is his name. Stay in God's word. It keeps us on track. The word keeps us from being worldly. Isn't it interesting? One letter changes the meaning of word and world. Are you in the word? Or are you in the world? Your choice. Stay in fellowship. Stay in the word. Stay in church. Go where you get fed. That's the bottom line. Jesus said, if you love me, to Peter, feed my sheep. That's why we go through God's word, God's pure word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so the sheep can get a good meal. The observation, the interpretation, and the application. And the all-important thing for us here this morning is that we apply what we hear. When we disobey, when we stumble and fall, turn back. Get back to your altar, if you would. Get back to your faith in Jesus Christ. Repent. Return to your first love, the Bible says. There's always a way back. Again, verses 5 through 9. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their positions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please, separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And so, facing a potential conflict with his nephew Lot, Abram, because he had returned to his altar, and because he was again in a right relationship with God, he took the initiative in settling the dispute. There's wisdom in that for us today as well. We are not to have aught against anyone, or to make sure that we get right with everyone, even loving our enemies, the Bible says. I find it interesting that many times we read about Abram at his altar, whereas we don't find one instance of Lot at an altar. There's a lot we can learn from that. We never find him at his altar. I think it's important that we spend time on our knees, coming to the throne room of grace. The wonderful thing about today and having a relationship with Jesus Christ is we can pray anytime, anywhere. We don't have to go home and go to an altar, or once a week go to a priest in a box. We can come boldly to the throne room of grace in time of need, 24/7, anytime we can come to the Lord, and he's there. And so here we see no altar for Lot. And even though Abram was older, he had the right to choose first because he was a senior saint. But he gave the first choice to his nephew Lot. That's grace. If you take the left, I will take the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. He's not talking about Democrats and Republicans here. Just thought I'd clarify that. Verses 10 and 11. And Lot lifted his eyes, and he saw all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot, look at this, chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. So here, Lot's character is revealed. We can learn a lot from Lot here. His carnal character is revealed here. The flesh. The three things that we are tempted with here in this world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. His worldliness is evident by his choices. I think Abram, if it was his choice, he would have learned this time and gone to his altar and prayed for God's direction. But Lot didn't have an altar, as we can see here. And his choices will be worldly. There was still some Egypt, the world, dwelling in the heart of Lot. And again, when we come to know Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the one mediator between God and man, God cleanses our heart of the things of the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And it's up to you and I to keep on cleansing our heart before the Lord, because the world tries to creep in again. The enemy doesn't give up. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. A little joke here before I move on. Next weekend is fall. So you won't have to worry about pride anymore, because pride goes before the fall. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. There was still some Egypt left in the heart of Lot. Jesus should be sitting on the throne of our heart. Not only that, the Bible tells us that we are sealed for the day of redemption when we give our lives to Christ with the Holy Spirit, who convicts us of the sin that we face in the world every day. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And so Lot lifts up his eyes. He chose for himself. In his greed, he wasn't concerned for the needs of Abram, but only himself. Our eyes will deceive us, won't they? Oh, the enemy is a great deceiver. Look at this. This is what you need. You just got to have this to die for. That's what the world says. Oh, to die for. Let me give you my best interpretation of those three words, to die for. Jesus Christ on that cross looked at you and I and said, to die for. He died for you and he died for me, so that we can have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's our choice. But Lot was thinking only of himself. When we make choices as believers in life without God's direction, guess what? We head in the wrong direction. Verses 12 and 13. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Look what he gets here in the package. Lust of his eyes. Oh, look. He chose a well-watered land, lush pasture lands. They look good. Looked like the garden of the Lord, it says, which seemed like a wise choice in the flesh to Lot at first. But notice what it says, that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Verse 13 tells us that the men of Sodom were Sodomites and exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. God calls the sin of homosexuality sodomy. And again, I am not here to bash homosexuals or sodomites. I love you enough to tell you the truth this morning, because God does not grade on a curve. Jesus wants to set you free. He wants the best for you, and he wants to spend eternity in heaven with you. I Googled the definition of sodomites, and it is so twisted and perverted, I can't even share it from God's pulpit. Sexual immorality, sexual perversion. And as we've talked over the past few weeks in Genesis, that's why we're in Genesis, because it's the beginnings. And I felt God in this time that which we live in the United States of America, that we need to get back to the truth of God's word. God created us male and female. No other genders. Male and female. God is the one who designed marriage between a man and a woman, period. Male and female. God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. We did not evolve. And there's so many incredible things that we are going to learn through Genesis. We need to get back to the beginnings. Genesis means beginning. We need to get back to the beginning of God's truth. And as I mentioned when we did Genesis chapter 1, I wish that Genesis chapter 1 was taught in all of our elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, colleges. America would be a different place because it covers male and female, creation, all of these incredible things. And as I mentioned in the opening statement of the message here this morning, every word of the Lord is pure. And anybody that changes or twists or waters down the word of God, you are defiling the Holy Scriptures, which are God-breathed. And any pastors in this nation that are twisting God's word, watering it down, tickling ears, need to repent of their sin. Because it's the truth that sets people free. We need the truth today like never before. And so we see here that the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked, sinful against the Lord. We're going to talk more about this when we get to the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. Abram, he's not Abraham yet. Abram lived by faith, not by sight. Lot lived by sight, not by faith. Abram met with God at the altar and trusted God to lead him. Lot had a tent, but he had no altar. Lot did not meet with God. And it's so important that we meet with God. Lot's eyes were on the plain of Jordan. Yes, Abram had taken Lot out of Egypt, but he could not take Egypt out of Lot. I repeat, Abram took Lot out of Egypt, but he could not get Egypt out of Lot. And it's only God that can get Egypt out of us today. The world, the flesh, the devil. Lot looked toward Sodom. Oh, well-watered land. And then he moved towards Sodom, we're going to see. Next week in chapter 14, he's going to move right into town. Right into Sodom with the Sodomites. The sin of sodomy was an offense against God's natural design. It's an unnatural practice of sexual sin. God created sex between a husband and a wife, period. And look what we've done to sex in the United States of America. And now look what's going on. You turn on television and, man, they're selling cars and food and everything else with sex. Hello? That bothers me. Not only that, with what I shared last week, the rainbow is God's rainbow and His alone. And the Bible tells us very clearly that the rainbow is around His throne in heaven. And His rainbow is pure and holy. And look what's going on in America today. And so Lot, going to move right into Sodom. Let me remind you of what the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans chapter 1. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Hello upstairs, for the Jew first and also for the Greek or the Gentiles. For in all the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now listen. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. You don't have to go very far to see God's creation. You know, when I look at the mountains and the clouds and even the rainbow, it just brings, you know, brings God to mind. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Here we go. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And look at today. All these people profess to be so wise and so smart. My Bible tells me the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is to hate all evil. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Satan lied to Eve in the garden and said, "You shall be like God." And look what's going on today. Man thinks he's God. He thinks he's smarter than God, above God. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Listen to this. Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. If man wants to pursue vile passions, God will give them over to it. Notice, for even the women exchanged the natural use for what's against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Sodomites, sodomy. Notice, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they're whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Whew. Violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Here we go. Last two verses. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only those, not only do the same, but also those who approve of those who practice these things. And you know what? You may not be practicing sodomy, but the Bible very clearly says, as I just read, that if you approve of these things, you are just as guilty as those who practice them. That's heavy duty. God's word. I'm just a mailman, delivering the mail. And so it's not that we're to bash or hate those who are living in a perverted lifestyle. We're to love and to pray for them. That's the bottom line. Jesus Christ loves them. He died for them. And he wants a personal relationship with them. And that's why you and I are still here, to love them and to minister to them and to speak the truth in love. Back to Genesis chapter 13. God's word is very clear. Would you say it's clear what I shared? It's pretty clear. God says what he means and means what he says. God created two genders, male and female. God designed marriage between a husband and a wife. It is God's rainbow. The behavior of Sodom and Gomorrah, as we will see, will bring fire and brimstone out of the heavens. After the rapture of the church, when Jesus Christ finally says that is enough, there will be fire and brimstone that will come down from heaven. One day again, God's going to judge the wicked, perverted sins of mankind, and he will bring fire and brimstone out of heaven. I don't take joy in sharing fire and brimstone coming out of heaven, but I do take joy in sharing the truth of God's word so that people would have fear, holy fear in their hearts, and so that people would turn from their ways and turn to the true and living God who loves them and gave his life for them. Your choice. An alternate lifestyle or a lifestyle like Abram, an altar lifestyle. Your choice. Altar or alternative. With the alternative lifestyle, judgment will come. An altar lifestyle like Abram results in God's blessings. God wants to set us free from our sins so that we can enjoy the blessings of life. And we all look back as believers. Those of us have been set free from some heavy-duty stuff right here. I'm amazed at the joy that God has given me no matter what's going on in my life. I rejoice every day that I'm forgiven. I rejoice every day that God saved my marriage. I rejoice every day that I now have a great relationship with my children and now have grandchildren. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, that never would have happened. I'd be dead. I'd probably be in flames by now. Verse 14 to 18. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land, through its length and its width, notice again, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Notice, God chose for Abraham. God's ways are perfect. God knows where you should be and where I should be. Is it my choice to live where it's 120 degrees out? No, but I want to be where God wants me to be. We did spend 12 years with the frozen chosen in Vermont. But I'll take the heat. I just want to be where God wants me to be. Because, folks, we're not home yet. This is not our home. And as I've mentioned before, someone told me the other day, man, it's hotter than hell here. And I said, thanks to Jesus, I'll never know. So Abram let God choose for him. We need to lift everything before the Lord and not give God options. We do that, don't we? Lord, please, you know, do this or do that for me. And we give him instructions. No. His ways are perfect. We need to let God choose for us. We need to let God direct us. After they separated, after Lot had left, the Lord spoke to Abram again because Abram had his altar. And Lot lifted up his eyes for what the world had to offer, but Abram lifted up his ears and his eyes to what God offered. And what a difference. And we know the rest of the story. God's promises that he gave Abram are now going to be fulfilled. But what Lot chose, he's going to lose, if you know the rest of the story. What Abram chose, we're still experiencing today, because it's through Abram that the Messiah would come, and the world would be blessed, and the Word of God, and Israel, and all these incredible things that we get to appreciate today. And what God gave to Abram still belongs to his descendants to this very day. Abram lifts up his eyes when God tells him to. God, in verse 17, will also tell him to lift up his feet and walk through the land. Wow. Is there any better thing that we can do with God is to lift up our eyes for his direction and walk it out? That's why I've said many times this book is wrapped in shoe leather, because we're supposed to walk it out. How are you going to know God's will in your life? Read the Word. God will speak to you, and he does. Another lesson, it's our faith in God that will determine how much of his blessings that we will enjoy. Lot is not going to enjoy the blessings of God because he's in the world, worldly choices. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God gives us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1:3. I repeat, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God gives to us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we could go around the room here this morning and we could hear testimony after testimony of all the wonderful blessings God has given us. And some of the wonderful blessings that God has given to us have come through trials. As we close, verses 14 to 18. Not only did Abram lift up his eyes, but his ears and his feet to walk. He also, look at the last verse, built an altar there to the Lord. He also lifted up his heart at the altar and worshiped God. And that's a lesson for you and I today. We should be lifting up our hearts in thanksgiving to God for all that comes our way, because everything that comes your way and my way has to pass through the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ. And my Bible tells me that all things are working together for good for those who love God. So when the trials and the tests and the troubles come, don't flip out. Don't panic. Don't run down to Egypt. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, meaning get rid of the stinking thinking, because we always think the worst case scenario when trials come, don't we? In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And so here, Abram is back at the altar, thanking God for his gracious blessings and provision. And again, Abram, the father of faith, he failed the first two tests. He did. He relied on his feelings and not on faith in God's word. That's why I have a problem with feel-good pastors today. It's all about you. Feel good about yourself. You know when I feel good about myself? It's when I'm repentant of my sins. My Bible tells me we should decrease that he would increase. Abram passed test number 3. Praise God. Because he returned to his altar. Maybe that's a challenge for some of us here today. I don't know where everybody's at. But maybe some of you here need to return to the altar. Return to Jesus Christ. Today, we have the throne room of grace. Today, we can pray and ask God to forgive us. Today, we have God's word, God's spirit. We have all that pertains to life and godliness given to us, 2 Peter 1:3. Bottom line as we close, get out of Egypt and get Egypt out of you and get back to God. That's the bottom line. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. What a lesson we can learn from the father of faith, Abram, who failed twice. But Lord, you've given us some incredible lessons to learn from his failures. And we can also learn from our failures. And I pray in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit here with everyone here this morning, is that if there's anyone that just needs to get back to the heart of worship, I pray that you would stir their hearts and they would do that, Lord. That they would confess their sin. You're faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe there's some here that have never been to the altar. Maybe there's some here that have never given their lives to Jesus Christ. And again, I'm not here to judge you, but I'm here to give you the good news. You can be saved and forgiven for all of your sins right now, today, and cleansed from all unrighteousness. And you can go from Egypt and know that your next home is in heaven. And if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close. Anyone as we close. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Father, again, thank you for your great love and grace and mercy. Thank you for the wonderful lessons we've learned from Abraham, or Abram, the father of faith. Help us, Lord, to take what we've heard and what we've learned and hide it in our hearts, and help us to walk it out by faith. Not by feeling, but by faith. Your word says, without faith, it's impossible to please you. So help us to be men and women of faith. Would you do that? So I pray for a special blessing over my brothers and sisters here this morning. Lord, just shower them in your love and grace and mercy. And may we rejoice that we are another day closer to home. We shall see you face to face, and you shall say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. And Lord, we need rest. We love you and thank you for this morning. Thank you for the great worship, the words of the songs. Thank you for the time of fellowship. We love you and praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.